Well, welcome to Welland Evangelical Church for our morning service, and welcome to those joining us on live stream as well. Our preacher this morning is Jamie Campbell from Hailsham, and Jamie will also be taking the evening service at 6:30. Refreshments will be served in the church hall directly after the service, so please do stay if you can. During the week, Wednesday evening, 7:30, our Bible study and prayer meeting. So all are welcome to come to that, and I'd urge you to come if you can. Just to notify you that on Thursday afternoon, the local ministers' fraternal, ministers' fellowship will be meeting in the church hall area from about 2 till 4. It's Thursday afternoon. Next Sunday, Jamie Campbell will be preaching again, morning and evening, and there will be a fellowship lunch. So please do come, and again, I think I'll probably be asked to say that if you could provide food without nuts in, as we have done the last couple of meetings, that would be very helpful. On Wednesday week, the 20th of March, there's a church meeting which is also the AGM for all members. And church members, please note that Nigel has copies of the annual report and accounts for you for that prior to that meeting. You will see on the table in the foyer that our Easter leaflet, which has been produced by Roger, has all been bundled up. They're there for distribution. It'd be great to get them out. We're doing the Welland Village and the Oaklands area this Easter. And if you could help, maybe just take one bundle, and then you'll realize how enjoyable it is, and you'll come back for another bundle and do too. So it'd be really great to get all these leaflets out. They advertise the Easter services, the Easter egg hunt, which is on the Easter Saturday. And of course, there is an evangelistic message in the leaflets. So it'd be good to get those. Okay, Jamie. Okay.
As Mostyn has mentioned, as well as being with you today, God willing, I hope to be with you next Sunday as well. And with our timetable in mind, I intend to deliver a mini-series called Family Matters. What will this look like? Well, this morning we shall think about our older brothers and sisters in the Lord, while this evening we shall consider the Lord's fifth commandment to his children at Sinai. And then, God willing, next Sunday, we shall use the morning service to address a husband's faithfulness to his wife, while our evening service will examine Christ's expectations of us all. Thinking about this service now, we're going to use the book of Psalms to address our older brothers and sisters in the Lord. And as we do, the songwriter is going to show us how aging believers prove the Lord's promises to them. And to help us with our theme, please listen as the Lord uses the prophet Isaiah to encourage older saints amongst us. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he, and to grey hairs, I will carry you. Notice these promises that follow. I have made, and I will bear, I will carry, I will save, says the Lord. Well, let's commit our meeting to him in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we confess your greatness and your glory, your purity and your majesty. And we know, Lord God, that this day is ordained by you, and you have been very kind in giving us the breath of life. Strength, Lord, to rise from our beds and meet a new day. Gracious Saviour, as we gather to worship in this way, we do ask that by the goodness of your Holy Spirit, you would condescend, you would come amongst us and stir us up, that we would behold once again your greatness and your glory, that you would help us to search out your majesty and your grace, and that everything we do this morning would bring praise and honor to your great and eternal name. Whether we are young or old, Lord God, have mercy. Show us the right way for Christ, and let our lives, Lord God, be distinctive for you. We pray this in Jesus' name, with the felt pardon of our many sins. Amen. Amen. Well, please do find your hymn books. We're going to stand and sing our first song, number 855, and in particular, verse 4, as you find that hymn. O sweet and blessed country, the home of God's elect. O sweet and blessed country that eager hearts expect. Jesus, in mercy, bring us to that dear land of rest, who art with God the Father and Spirit ever blessed. Would the children like to join me at the front, please? Thank you.
That's our umbrella.
That's what, sorry?
That's our umbrella. And anyway, why did you bring an umbrella in here?
Okay, well, if this is an umbrella, why do you think I brought an umbrella? What's happening outside?
It's raining,
there we go. So that might be a good idea, but you know what? This isn't an umbrella. We're going to find out in a moment what this is, but a good guess. Okay, children, first of all, how are you all?
Good.
You okay? You had a good week? Yeah, reasonable, so. Okay, all right. Well, we've mentioned at the start of our service this morning that we're going to be thinking away from ourselves, and we're going to be thinking about people who are a lot older than we are. Go on. Yeah, it is a walking stick. Okay, but we're going to get to the walking stick in a minute. All right, well done. Very good. Okay, so we're going to be thinking about people who are older than us, a lot older than us, okay? And in this bag, I've got some items that are going to help us to think about people that are older than us, okay? So we've already guessed the walking stick, all right? Not an umbrella, a walking stick. So would you like to take this walking stick out for me? And just hold it down by the floor there. That's great. And as we think about people who are older than us, what might we use the walking stick for? What might an old person use the walking stick for? Go on.
Walking.
Walking. Very good. Very good. The walking stick is to help the older person stay upright and to walk well. Do you have anything else to say about the walking stick? Or do we reckon that's a good answer? Yeah, it is made of wood. That's great. That's great. And look, if you keep thinking about the design, because that's a I know it sounds obvious, but if you then look at the bottom of the walking stick, what have we got on the bottom? Go on. What would you call that? Yeah, it has got a rubber end on it. And what do we think that rubber grip is for? Go on.
It's grip.
It's grip. Very good. So you don't slide all over the place. So that's very good. Well done. So the walking stick is something that the older person can lean on and hopefully not slip over. So the walking stick helps the older person to walk really well. Okay, good. What else have we got in this bag? Do you want to have a little rummage around in there? Oh, wow. What's that then? A hat. Is there a special name for this hat? Does anybody know?
A hat.
A hat?
Sun hat.
A sun hat. Very good. Anybody older would like to contribute to the description of this hat? It's a what?
Fedora.
Is it called a fedora? Really? Is it really? A Panama. Yeah, very good. So a Panama hat. There you go. Now, what do we use the hat for? Somebody mentioned the sun a few moments ago. Go on.
It gives the person shade.
That's a wonderful answer. Go on.
It protects your head from the sun.
That's a really good answer too. And that word protect is really important. Very good. We'll hold on to that thought and we'll come back to it in a moment. Would you like to have a little dig in there? Have a little rummage. How do you guess these things before they come out? You can't see through this bag this week. No. You're quite right, and I know that experience for myself. My eyes are dimming and I need glasses to see. So we've got some glasses and we've already had a good answer, but these are not so much sun because they're plain glass, aren't they?
Ice glasses.
What does it say there?
Ice glasses.
Ice. No. I don't know what that means. I'm so sorry. That's really
good.
So you're using them to do what for your eyes?
Protect.
Very good, protect. So we've got a hat that protects. We've got some safety glasses that protect. Very good. Now then, I'm going to give you that bag and you can have a rummage around in the bottom of there. There's something else in there. Do you want to guess what it is before it comes out? What's that then? It's a sweet.
Do
we know, and we're not going to open that. We're not going to eat that. No. Go on. What did he say?
Why do old people eat sweets? Isn't that bad?
Why do old people eat sweets? Is it bad? You know what? As I get a bit older, I find a mint, because this is a mint, I find a mint to be quite comforting. And I love the fact that it tastes sweet. Go on.
It looks like a coffee-flavoured sweet.
I think it's toffee, not coffee. But that's a very good guess. It's kind of dark brown and light brown. You can hold on to that for now. Okay, so as we think about older people with us this morning and joining us online, and in particular those older people who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who are using the Bible to shape and govern their lives for Him so that they bring Him honor and glory, we're going to think about these objects that we've got and apply them to prayers for older people around us who love the Lord Jesus. So, with the hat, let's start at the top and we'll come to the walking stick in a bit, okay? So what I'd like you to do this week, as we remember older people, okay, who love the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of the hat, okay, and in our prayers, we're going to ask Jesus to protect their minds and their thoughts for him, so that everything that they think about brings honor and glory to them, to the Lord Jesus Christ. So older people have protected minds and thoughts for Jesus, okay? And then with the glasses, okay, as we put the glasses on to protect our eyes, as we think about older people, we're going to pray to Jesus and we're going to ask Jesus that these older people that love him, that they would only look at what is good for him, okay, with those protective glasses. And then as we think about the walking stick, okay, and we've given a really good description about the walking stick. As we think about older people who love the Lord Jesus, we want them to walk well for Jesus, don't we? So that they don't stumble and they don't fall over. Okay, so that's the walking stick. And then lastly, the sweet. What can we say about the sweet? It's delicious. That's really good. And as we think about older people that love the Lord Jesus, what we want to pray for them is this. Is that every day of their lives that God gives them, when they open up the Bible and they read it, that when they take in his truth with their minds and their hearts, that God's word, the Bible, would be sweet to them and it would sustain them. Do we think we can remember those things in our prayers this week? Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully mums and dads can help us with those prayer points as well. Okay, very good. Well done. So what I'd like to do is gather in these items and then I'm going to pray for you. I'll just take that like that. Pop the hat back in. And the glasses. Bye-bye ice glasses, yeah. And the sweet too.
Can I eat it first?
No, I'm so sorry. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We have to take that back in. Right. Before you go back to your seats, I'm going to pray for you. Thank you for taking part and for listening. Thank you. Let me pray. Gracious Saviour, loving Lord God, we thank you and praise you for our time together with these young people. And we count it a privilege and a blessing, Lord, to have this time to be able to share your truth with them and to present you, Lord Jesus. We do ask that as they grow up, they will continue to absorb your truth and that they would live lives that bring honour and glory to you. For those who have charge over them, give them strength and grace. Help them to persist in the truth that brings you glory. And we do ask, Lord God, that one day we would have the privilege of listening to these young people as they stand up on their own two feet and declare what it means to have faith and love in the Saviour Jesus Christ. We ask all of this now in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you want to go back to your seats? Thank you. Well, as we continue in our worship together, we're going to stand and sing our second song, hymn number 892, Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild.
Thank you.
let's continue before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious Father and loving Saviour, as we go quiet before you once again, we draw near to your throne of eternal grace, and we plead with you that in your good offices and by your mercy, you would draw near to us, your people. We thank you, living God, that you are the one who is in control. You are on the throne, and you have always been in charge of everything. We thank you that just as you were before time began, so you understand the present, and you most definitely have the future under your control also. And it's our prayer this morning, as we think about your glory, that we would join with the psalmist in attempting to understand those unsearchable riches that you share with us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your compassion. And we thank you so much, Holy God, that you have made a way for sinners to come back to you in grace, in peace, and in repentance. And as we corporately worship you in this way, it's our prayer, Lord God, our plea, that individually we would be before you daily, and we would be crying out to you for that loving grace and for that forgiveness that has been wrought at such cost in the blood, the life of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Our minds are staggered when we take in by faith the truth that you entered into this world, Lord Jesus, the perfect stamp and image of God on earth, and how we thank you and praise you for your patience, for your diligence, for your self-sacrifice, and for the way in which you faithfully modeled the kingdom of God. Thank you for every word that you spoke. Thank you for every action that has been recorded for us. We thank you, dear Lord Jesus, that you faithfully upheld all that the Father required of you, and that in the end, you were willing to go to that place just outside Jerusalem's walls a little over 2,000 years ago, and in naked shame and agony as you were stretched out, as you suffered excruciating pain, you bore the wrath of God for the sins of your people once and for all times, so that people like us might come into your presence exactly as we are and plead for forgiveness in the name of Jesus and by your precious blood. Lord God Almighty, if there is anybody here this morning who is considering faith in Christ, we pray that you would give them that understanding of your mercy, that understanding of your grace, that you would regenerate their hearts and their lives by washing them down with the goodness of the Holy Spirit. And as they listen to your calling, so you would change their lives internally, and that they would start to live for you by faith and to the glory of God. Gracious Saviour, as we consider the significance of today in our calendars, we pray in particular for all those mothers amongst us. And we give thanks, Lord God, for our mothers. We thank you, gracious Saviour, that in your wonderful way, you have given us these gifts in life. And indeed, by our mothers, new life is given. We thank you for these things that you have ordained and designed. And we pray, Lord God, that in humility, that we would always have thankful hearts for the privileges and for these blessings that you shower upon us. But equally, Lord, as we think about mothers amongst us, we also lament, and we pray this morning for any who miss their dear ones. Perhaps in the last few days, maybe the last few weeks or months, maybe, Lord God, for many, many years. We pray, Almighty Saviour, that you would draw near, that you would offer comfort, that you would show your mercy. And not just those, Lord God, who mourn the loss of their mothers, their loved ones. We pray especially for those who have never known the joy of parenthood. And we pray also for those who are hoping to become a mother. And we also remember, Lord God, mothers who've lost relationship with their children to the extent, Lord God, that things have broken down entirely and there is enmity, certainly on one side. As we lament in these ways, Lord God, we pray using the psalmist's words that you would draw near to those who are crushed in spirit and that you would bind up those who are broken-hearted. Gracious Lord, as we consider events in our land, we are aware, Lord, from those headlines that there is much pressure and there is a lot of hatred that is being directed at members of Parliament as a consequence of events thousands of miles away. We think, Lord, of the terrible wars in Ukraine and in Gaza, and we plead with you, Lord God, that peaceful solutions would be found and that the terrible cost of war would be brought to an end. We know that these things do not surprise you, Lord God, but this does not stop us from crying out to you that you would come amongst us, Lord, and you would do a work of miraculous grace, and you would help those that are fighting with each other to put down their weapons of war. For Lord God, these events continue to have a ripple effect in our land, and we have been appalled and disgusted by what we see and read as men and women in this land turn against each other and say horrible things to each other and do horrible things to each other. And as we reflect on this, Lord, we pray for members of Parliament in particular. Lord God, we don't suggest for one moment that Parliament is a perfect place. Like us, Lord God, members of Parliament are fallen sinners before you. We plead with you, Lord, that those who love you and who follow you faithfully, that they would be beacons of light for the gospel of Christ, and that you would give them effective arguments. You would give them the ability to debate with eloquence all those serious matters that pertain to government, and that they would do so, Lord God, referring to your word. But equally, Lord God, we pray for those members of Parliament who fear for their lives because of the work they do. Gracious Saviour, we pray that you would keep evil far from them, and that while they consider everything that they say and do, you would disrupt any plans of violence or antagonism that may be being formed, even as we pray this morning. Lord God, please have mercy on this nation. Protect our leaders, and please, Lord, help our leaders to base their lives on your truth alone. We pray, Lord, for the ongoing work of the church here, and in particular, this morning, Lord, we remember the men's reading group that is due to meet, God willing, soon. We do pray, Lord God, for that fellowship, and we do ask, as those brothers gather together, that they would put you first, and as they do so, so you would give them that blessing that you can afford. We do pray that their times of fellowship would be those times of fellowship of mutual encouragement and building up, and that, gracious Lord, they would know the truth of your word, that iron sharpens iron. May their lives be focused and fixed on you to the glory of your name. And Lord, as we consider older brothers and sisters this morning, we commit them to your loving care. We thank you, Lord, for their faithful witness over, in some cases, many, many decades. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given them a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that as they go on in old age, they would have full assurance of what it means to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that as you continue to make your word sweet in their lives, so you would protect their minds, you would govern their eyes, and you would help them to walk in a manner that is worthy of your name. Grant them grace, Lord God, in old age. Help them to persist with your truth. May all the honor and glory go to you as you continue to refine older saints for your glory and by your grace. Lord, for the ongoing witness of the church, we thank you for that. And we do pray especially for these Easter leaflets that have been printed and produced. We thank you for those that have spent time thinking about the content and the design. And we do pray now, Lord, that you would prepare the ground as brothers and sisters go out together and drop off these leaflets. We pray, Lord, that you would prepare hearts and minds to receive these leaflets, that people would pick them up, they'd be encouraged to read them, and that you would pique their interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. For gracious Lord, many of us here this morning know that this life is not the end. This life, Lord God, is not the end. There is a life to come. There is eternity to come. The big question being, where are we before you this morning? Are we ready to meet the maker and sustainer of this universe? Are we ready to meet you in the blink of an eye? We long, Lord God, that these leaflets would be put to good use and that gracious Saviour, brothers and sisters, would see in many ways your hand going before them, and that gracious Lord, there would be a great awakening in this village to the glory of King Jesus. And now, Saviour, as we come to your word, we pray that you would help us. We need you, Holy Spirit, to open our eyes, to unblock our ears, and to make our hearts ready to receive your truth. Almighty Saviour, make this happen. Help us to love your word and to use it daily. May it be that precious lamp to our feet. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, please do open your ESV Bibles with me to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. Psalm 71, forsake me not when my strength is spent. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. So reads God's word. Please mark it in your Bibles. We hope to come back to this passage in a few moments' time. But before we do, we're going to pick up our hymn books once again and find number 350. 350, Blessed Jesus at Your Word. please do open your ESV Bibles with me to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, and this morning we are going to be based at verses 1 through 11. And for those perhaps catching up at other times, this morning marks the start of a mini-series called Family Matters. And while there are many worthwhile subjects we could consider when it comes to the family, I've decided that we shall give time to the following. This morning we shall focus on a group that's been on my mind since we first met. This morning we're going to think about our older brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. While this evening we shall think about a child's obedience to its parents. And then all being well, next Sunday morning we shall examine a husband's faithfulness to his wife before concluding with what Christ expects to see in the family of God as a whole. And as we warm to our series, let's be in no doubt that while we are focusing first on believers, that the Word of God is relevant for those seeking the Savior as well. Coming to Psalm 71 now and addressing directly older brothers and sisters in the Lord, do you feel at times weak and frightened in old age? Do you feel isolated because of old age? Has your spiritual warfare increased as you've aged? If any of these things are true, or indeed other matters besides, can I encourage you to spend time meditating on the whole of Psalm 71? In Psalm 71, verses 1 through 11, the songwriter is going to show us that aging believers prove the Lord's promises to them. Aging believers prove the Lord's promises to them. Well, having established our theme, what about the background to the passage that's laid out before us? Well, for those of you who might not know, we are almost at the end of the second book of Psalms. There are five in total. And a quick survey of book two reveals that its largest contributor is a man called David. David, who went from being a shepherd in Israel to a king in Israel. Lastly, we are looking at an ancient song written just over 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth. And while some tie this song to Absalom's awful rebellion against his father David, our translators make no mention of the author or the occasion that prompted this song. Instead, we must be content with the summary for the whole psalm. We mentioned it in our first reading, "Forsake me not when my strength is spent." Well, having spent some time introducing and orientating, let's now begin to unpack our text together. And as we do, the first thing that we learn together is that the aging saint continues to be totally dependent upon the Lord. Now, please look at verse 1 as I read it again. "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame." Sharing together our highlights here, at the beginning of verse 1, where the translators use the capital letters for Lord, we're being told that our aging believer is trusting in the God of covenant promise, that our aging believer is trusting in Yahweh. Our aging believer is trusting in the God of covenant promise to keep him safe and to ensure that he is never put to shame, that he is never confounded or confused or muddled by the world. And because our aging believer is trusting by faith in the God of covenant promise, at verse 2, our aging author can ask the Lord to go to work for him. It's so encouraging. Look at verse 2 again with me. Verse 2, in your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. These are really bold requests coming from our aged believer, aren't they? Really direct requests to the God of covenant promise. Deliver me. Rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. In the first part of verse 2, the writer asks the Lord to work in righteousness, which is another way of saying, act justly for me. And as our older believer asks, prays to the Lord, act justly for me, what of that moment? Act justly for me, cries our author, so that I might be snatched away from, so that I might slip away from those things, those people that are opposing me, that are downing on me because of my faith in you, living Lord God. And as we consider verse 2, as we think about the way in which our older believer has laid out the principle of divine rescue, simply put, it's the Lord who saves, and our aging believer goes nowhere else, to no one else but the living Lord God. Having laid out the principles of divine rescue in the second part of verse 2, the writer then asks the Lord, prays to the Lord, to perform, to carry out that great rescue. Our aging believer says, let me go over it again, incline your ear to me. Turn your attention to me. Let me become the apple of your eye. And do what? Save me. While at the start of verse 3, can we see it? At the start of verse 3, our older brother calls to mind the permanency and the saving grace of the only living God. Look at verse 3. Be to me a rock of refuge. Don't we delight in this language as it encourages and makes us think about those places of safety before the Lord in this dark and fallen world? Be to me a rock. And what is rock? Is it like marshmallow? Is it like candy floss? No, rock is rock. It is solid. It is permanent. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may occasionally come. No, continually come. Our aging believer is talking about the inexhaustible supply of the living Lord God's mercy and grace towards him. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. At the start of verse 3, and emphasizing, underlining what we've just shared, our aging believer asks the living Lord God to be a rock of refuge to which he may continually come again and again. And I love this so much. But said another way, as we stop briefly to explore the Hebrew language that's being used here, our aging saint is longing that the living Lord God will lift him up out of trouble. You know, we see parents doing that with their little ones, don't we, on occasions? If there's a big puddle or a muddy patch, the parent swoops in and lifts up that little one above the puddle, above the mud, snatches them away from that danger. Our aging believer is thinking the same, that the living Lord God will lift him up from that trouble, that the living Lord God will surround him and protect him again and again and again and again. An inexhaustible supply of mercy from the only living God. And how so? Well, because of what comes next at the end of verse 3. As verse 3 goes on, our aging believer states, you, speaking to the Lord, you have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Confident that it is the Lord who saves. Said another way, and for us, with the benefit of the whole of Scripture set before us, confident it's the Lord who saves, and using the whole Bible, confident that the Lord has destined his elect to know the grace of God the Savior, it follows that the Lord can be nothing other than, end of verse 3, a rock, a fortress, a strong support to our aging believer. For what he picks, what he chooses, what he claims to belong to himself in his mercy and grace, he cannot let go of it. But why? We've been enthralled, encouraged, warmed to hear this aging believer praying out loud with boldness and with joy and solemnity before the Lord. But why? Why does our aging believer use these terms before the Lord? Why does this aging believer need to regularly rely on the Lord for safety and protection? Well, it's because of verse 4, isn't it? Look at verse 4 with me, please. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. At the beginning of verse 4, our aging brother asks the living Lord God to help him to, and exploring the language, to help him escape from or slip away from the hand or of the power of the wicked. And when we look at this word wicked, it's another way of describing criminals, people who are filled with evil intent. And then as verse 4 goes on, the songwriter again prays for the same thing, but uses slightly different words. And we see this a lot in the Psalms, don't we? The same thing mentioned again and again, just with slightly different words. In the second half of verse 4, the writer asks God to rescue him from the hand of or the power of those who deal unfairly with others. That's the bit that says unjust and cruel. Taking time with the language here, the writer asks God to rescue him from the hand of or the power of those who are cruel, flat, sour. And as we pause for review at this verse, older brother, older sister, how do verses 1 to 4 resonate with you this morning? How do they connect with your mind and heart in the goodness of God the Holy Spirit? As part of the elect in Christ, chosen before time began, are you doing what our ancient songwriter has demonstrated to us this morning? Are you trusting daily in the Lord of covenant promise to keep you safe, to lift you above, to protect you from the power of those who might treat you unfairly, the power of those who might be cruel or sour with you in some way in life? You know, the scammer, the street robber, the burglar at home, the impatient youth, the unprincipled tradesman, the heartless member of your family, the lazy medic or lazy care worker, the dishonest cop, the forgetful politician, some maybe even attending a church service, those of false religions rising, those who would, verse 4, seek to harm you intentionally in some way. Oh, be encouraged, older brother, older sister. The Lord has given the order to save you in the Lord Jesus Christ, to reveal to you that rock, that permanency, that mercy to which you may go again and again and again. The inexhaustible supply of protection, love and grace. The Christ who saved us and called us to what? To a holy calling. Not because of our works, not because of anything we have done or might do in the future, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Therefore, and considering these truths this morning, how can the living Lord God, older brother, older sister, not be your rock, not be your permanent refuge, your place of safety from those who are cruel, flat, and sour in this dark and evil world? How can the Lord not be your precious support in the twilight years of life? Well, so far, the older songwriter has been meditating on the Lord's salvation and care in the face of many evil opponents. And this was important for him because there are people in this world trying to hurt the faith and the right standing of this believer. And as the writer reflects on this fact, scary though it is, he also remembers now how the Lord has always been with him from conception to old age. Please look at verses 5 through 6 as I read them. We know at verse 4, that honest prayer for help, rescue me, help me, take me away from the unjust and cruel. Verse 5, for you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. Now, at the beginning of verse 5, and some of you may have spotted this, at the beginning of verse 5, the writer introduces another way of referring to God. So far, we've mentioned the Lord with capitals, but now we see capital L and then lowercase O, R, and D, which in this context is another way of saying God or Master. And while this learning is useful, let's not miss the greater point here. At the beginning of verse 5, considering this older saint has some serious opposition to his faith in his life. At the start of verse 5, did we notice that the writer doesn't merely put his hope in the Lord the way we might hope our hospital appointment is going to be on time? No. At the beginning of verse 5, and in every respect, the writer states without hesitation that the Lord is his hope. Exploring the Hebrew, that the Lord has always been attached to him, cord-like. And last half of verse 5 now, the Lord has always been his source of confidence, his place of refuge back in the earlier times of life. But not only life outside the womb. As verse 6 shows to us, this aging believer now knows that the Lord was also present in his life while he was in his mother's womb. Verses 6, or rather the first part of verse 6 and the middle part of verse 6 again, upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. And as we use Psalm 139 to amplify this moment, to support this moment we share, as we delight, if you're familiar with that psalm, as we delight in the Lord who knits us together in secret parts, as we rejoice in souls fearfully and wonderfully made, exquisitely made, as God tells us, he knows our lives before a single day is lived. Are we surprised to hear our aging saint concluding verse 6 as he does? Reflecting on all that he has shared, look at how verse 6 ends. Our aging saint cries out, my praise is continually of you. As the Spirit leads and opportunity comes, this older saint takes time to give thanks to the Lord for all his divine activity in his life. Older brothers and older sisters in Jesus, may this characterize the twilight years of life. When you can, let the living Lord God hear your praises and your thanksgiving, and may all the glory go to him. We're treading water briefly. The writer has been describing the Lord's salvation and care from the moment of conception. And this truth is going to be important because next, our aging believer warns that the battle with sin and temptation goes on. Evil opponents continue to plague and harass and harry. This goes on right to the end of life. What do we mean? Well, as verse 7 begins, the writer says something unusual that's perhaps not quite clear to all of us. At the beginning of verse 7, can we see it there? The songwriter says, our aging believer says, I have been a portent, to many. Said slightly differently, I have been unmissable. I have been a marvel. I have been a wonder, a puzzle to many. And considering the references to the enemy, which come in the middle and at the end of our passage that's set before us this morning, I take it that our aging believer has been a portent. He has been unmissable. He's been a marvel, a wonder to many, because this older believer has been sticking faithfully day by day to the divine truth and teaching of the only living God. He is distinct for his Savior, whatever his opponents may say to him. But illustrated one way, and staying top line here, because the subject we are about to touch on briefly could be a sermon in its own right. Illustrated one way and briefly, this man has become unmissable to many at his local bowls club. Okay, and some of you, there was a bit of laughter there. Do you like bowls? Maybe not. Okay, well, this man has become unmissable to many at his local bowls club because he is not supporting calls by Esther Ranson and Jonathan Dimbleby for MPs to have a debate and a free vote on assisted dying in the United Kingdom in respect of those who are, and I quote, of sound mind but terminally ill. Keeping it simple, staying top line here, our aging believer remembers by faith as he beholds the truth and the majesty of the living Lord God, as he imbibes, as he fills up his life with the truth of God's word. Our aging believer remembers that humans are what? We are made in the image of God, and that humanity belongs to God. Genesis 1 and Psalm 24, the start of. Our older believer remembers that in a legal sense, the Lord, in accordance with his word, only permits intentional death for those found guilty of specific crimes. Genesis 9 and Leviticus 20. Brothers, sisters, friends listening to this, being terminally ill is not a crime that warrants death. Above all, our aging believer humbly remembers that death in this life is by no means the end. For those who don't know God by faith in Christ, assisted dying as an unbeliever will not be as many shrilly state. Many state that being released from this life will be sweet. It will be good. It will be a blessing. It will be helpful. But the believer in the living Lord God, he knows that to die without Christ as Savior and Lord, to die without God the Savior front and center, it will not be a sweet release at all. Rather, in that moment, to enter into eternity without God the Savior in the breach for you and for me, rather a moment like that is an acceleration towards what? Towards everlasting condemnation in the fires of hell as a consequence of sins unforgiven. And whilst it's not been easy for our older brother at the bowls club, as he makes his case faithfully to those who are around him on the green or in the clubhouse afterwards, although it's not been easy, although his faith has been sorely tried, at times he has felt marginalized, humiliated, nevertheless, he stuck to the truth of God's word. And in the last part of verse 7, despite the opposition to his faith, our older brother acknowledges what? He acknowledges that he has known again and again and again the permanency, the saving grace, that rock-like truth, the safety of the Lord. In the last part of verse 7, he describes the Lord as a strong refuge who deserves his wholehearted praise for helping him to get through this latest trial of faith. Let's read verses 7 and 8 to get the flow. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. Therefore, my mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. And in many ways, This humbleness before the Lord, it allows our aging believer to pray with boldness, ongoing boldness at verse 9. Look at verse 9 with me, please. My mouth is filled, or rather, sorry, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. Exploring verse 9, literally, please, Lord, don't throw me away when I get old. Please, Lord, don't dismiss me. Please, Lord, don't leave me when my strength is failing. Knowing that old age at times can bring many frustrating and embarrassing weaknesses to the mind, to the body and soul, our aging brother does what is right while he can. Our aging believer willingly, daily leans on the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps, who declares that he understands and knows our going out and our coming in. He leans on the one who always has been and always shall be. And this is important because of how our text for this morning ends. Look at verses 10 through 11 with me, please. We know at verse 9, the psalmist has cried out, don't cast me off in old age when my strength is spent. Why? Verse 10, for, because my enemies speak concerning me. There's that reference again to ongoing spiritual warfare. And sometimes we can look at older people in life and we can see the sedateness of the pace that they adopt. And we can be tempted to think, I have thought this myself. Life must be so great for you. No trouble, no worry. Everything's so much slower. It is anything but. Because of the fallen nature of the mind and of the heart. This is why we have such honesty from this aging believer. This is why he admits out loud that the enemy, the opposition, is always against him, always trying his faith. Please, Lord, help me when my strength is fading. Why? For my enemies speak concerning me. What a horrible thought. For those who watch over my life, and the language here speaks about a watchman on the wall looking out with great intensity and searching. This is the kind of image of the enemy that we are gathering together using the language of Scripture. My enemies speak concerning me. They're talking about me, maybe openly in front of me, but more than likely behind my back. They're speaking about me. They're consulting. Those who watch for my life, they are consulting together. And they say, in their estimation, verse 11, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. In verse 10, our aging believer speaks candidly about opponents of the faith who talk to each other about him. The ominous inference being at this point in Scripture that the enemy wants to get rid of him. And then in verse 11, the aging believer explains that his enemies are confident in this because in their estimation, God has abandoned him and there are no friends to affect a rescue. Therefore, the enemy is emboldened. Pursue and seize him. Go after him. Get rid of him. And as we turn for home now, whose testimony does this sound like? It sounds like Jesus' testimony, doesn't it? That testimony that we read about in the Gospels that God has graciously given to us. Now then, as we think about the Lord Jesus here, whilst it's true that Jesus did not live to an old age, Jesus knew what it was to have his Father's love attached to him like a cord. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. We read about that in Luke chapter 2. And Jesus knew the righteous acts of God in his life by faithfully using the body that his Father prepared for him. Jesus was unmissable. Jesus was a marvel. Jesus was a puzzle. Jesus was a portent, to use the verse of Scripture set before us. Jesus was, as he faithfully modeled the kingdom of God, Jesus was a portent, unmissable to many because of what he did and what he said and how he said it, how he taught it. Jesus was unmissable. And especially so as he said these words to his critics. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he, his Father in heaven, has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. But as Jesus faithfully proclaimed, as he faithfully modeled and demonstrated the kingdom of God in ancient Palestine just over 2,000 years ago, so it was that a close follower of Jesus called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests. And here we start to echo the language of verses 10 through 11. Judas Iscariot went and spoke to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And scripture records they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, God's word tells us that Judas sought an opportunity to betray the Son of God. And having been betrayed, having been nailed to the cross, bearing the wrath of God for the sins of his people, what did many say and do as they took in that sight? The word tells us, as passers-by mocked him and scornfully wagged their heads at him, many believed that Jesus on the cross was proof that God had abandoned him. According to Matthew chapter 7, rather 27 and verse 43, they said, "He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said," referring to the Christ, "I am the Son of God." And while Jesus had to die on the cross, whilst Jesus of Nazareth was willing to die on the cross for sinners like me and like you, on the third day, the glory and the power of the Father raised Jesus from the dead, so that in Christ, whether we are young or old, we too, by faith, might walk abundantly in newness of life. Older brother, older sister, as you wrestle with your season, faithfully sticking to the living word of God, and as you contend for the faith in the late stages of life, the word reminds you this morning that the Christ is your permanent rock, your permanent refuge, who deserves your praises. He is the one that you can return to again and again and again. And his supply of mercy and grace will never dry out or fade. And so, if I may, with Zimmer frame to hand, whilst lying on a sick bed or joining the congregation in a wheelchair or mobility buggy, with failing eyes, failing ears, with strength all but spent in the late years of life, older brother, older sister, continue trusting in Christ's gospel, where you can continue to share Christ's gospel. Christ's gospel is the only truth that saves lives. Amen. As we bring our morning worship to a close, we're going to stand and sing together number 865, "When the Trumpet of the Lord Shall Sound."
Thank you.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.